Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, sexual assault, sexual content, racism, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode. Feeling a little cooped up, are we? Well, I'm going to prescribe you daily strangulations, at least until the screaming stops. I'm Sean.
Oh, little house of Bethlehem, how screams run through your halls.
I'm Andy.
I'm going to say 5 more rat bites, and we can see if we can clear up that accent for you. I'm Adam.
I see you've been diagnosed with being female. That's been going around lately. I'm Kelly, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Acid Pop, where today we're going to be talking about mental asylums.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Fun.
Unlike those, unlike another asylum, a physical asylum.
Or a political asylum.
Yes.
This is the cages in your mind. But specifically, we're not going to be talking about, modern day, inpatient programs or stuff. We're going back a ways.
Because they don't exist.
Yep.
Thanks, Reagan.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan.
But we're also going, some of these appalling practices do go up through distressingly recent, so we will be touching on some stuff.
I just saw a picture online of an asylum that in Spain in 84, where they were chaining kids with autism to radiators.
Yeah. Oh. I saw some great pictures. Great. Anyone want to give me the etymology for asylum?
I would assume it's just asylum.
A place of safety. A salimensio.
Give me the Latin.
The Latin. Asylum.
Sean's got it. He's too good at this game. It's asylum. Goes back to a word where they don't know the etymology. Asyle. Which means without right of seizure.
Huh.
Hmm. And
so you can't leave, I guess?
No, things can't be taken from you.
Right, yeah.
Safe zone.
Except for your mobility.
Asylum is safe place from violence, sanctuary, refuge.
Hmm. Uh-huh, that's what those were.
Yeah, we always declared asylum when we were playing hide and seek.
Mm-hmm. So let's get right into our acid pop quiz. True or false? We're going to talk about some treatments here, and I guess also some not treatments. Looking at my notes,
hit the air quotes on those.
Treatments.
And we needed a button for it.
The Department of Defense funded research on psychiatric patients.
Oh yeah,
yeah. True. True. They're trying to make psychic mutants.
Well, they're we need test subjects without a lot of paperwork.
Yes, this is absolutely true. Most notably and known. The Lear Asylum in Norway took money from the Department of Defense to test LSD and other various brain research.
That our couldn't hurt anybody.
Our Department of Defense paid Norway to test LSD on mental patients. They also tested pharmaceuticals considered too dangerous for human testing.
blush, lipstick.
I'm sorry, are these not humans in here?
When we say humans, we meant Americans.
Sane Americans. Saying
not crazy
quotes.
Norwegians.
Okay, next question. Swings were used as a method to treat insanity.
Huh.
Swings. I don't know. The back and forth motion might drive me more insane.
Yeah. I'll say false. Yeah.
I'm going to say true. And then when they got tired of using them, they just put them out in the playground.
So this is true.
Wow. Hmm.
So this kind of makes sense. You put our kiddo in a swing and she goes into a trance.
That's true. Let's get that 1,000-yard swing stare.
Yeah, it becomes their own pendulum.
In the case of the treatment swings, they tied inmates to the chair and spun them rapidly.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
I'm going to send you guys a picture.
I love a picture.
It's just a chair.
Even the drawing has a sad man. Look at how sad he is.
Well, if he was happy, he wouldn't need to be here.
It's a chair tied to, like, four ropes on what looks like a gallows. And a sad ragdoll boy sitting in it.
I mean, make that chair a lazy boy, and I'd swing in that today.
I mean, looking at the gear ratios on that crank, you're not going to get going very fast. They need a much bigger ratio.
So the chair would be turned 20 to 40 times and allowed to spin back to its original position. It was recommended that the practice be performed for an hour or two.
Wow.
Three or four times a day for a month.
I'm done playing, doctor.
You're going to barf the insanity out.
Yes. It was said to soothe the inmates and help them sleep, but it was also noted, quote, one of the most constant effects of swinging is a greater or lesser degree of vertigo attended by pallor, nausea, vomiting, and frequently by the evacuation of the contents of the bladder.
Yeah.
You know what? Pulling a few G's for an hour puts me to sleep, too.
So they sleep so much better once their eyes stop bleeding.
So in 1990, a group of Canadians sued and collected millions each because they'd been wrongly classified as mentally ill for financial gain.
Yes.
That sounds true. I mean,
yeah,
definitely when
true.
They've got programs for checking people into places for money, that always goes wrong.
So this is false.
Huh.
It happened.
Okay.
But their suit did not get them millions each. They got about $25,000 a piece.
Huh.
What happened was federal subsidies for orphans in the 1940s and 50s was $125 per day. But for psychiatric patients, it was $275 a day.
Ooh.
Oh.
Quebec started assigning orphans to mental asylums.
Oh, no.
You don't have parents? That's crazy.
And in the 90s, a group of about 3,000 of them sued. They were awarded $10,000 each, plus a $1,000 a year bonus for each year of wrongful confinement.
Oh, good.
So 15 years of wrongful confinement?
Gets you $15,000. That's like a couple of months worth of work.
And they get to play on the swings.
It's notable that the people in charge of dispensing said compensation were paid over $1,000 a day. Conservative estimates say that the amount that was made doing this by the people doing the assigning was about $70 million in subsidies.
Wow.
And the government saved $37 million by having one of its orphanages redesignated as a psychiatric hospital.
Who are they going to complain to? Their parents?
Ouch.
All right, kids, we've got some officials coming. I'm going to need you all to twitch and just make weird noises.
You know, that's just kids in general anyway, so...
Yeah.
These kids were subjected to physical, sexual, and mental abuse. They were experimented on, including, but not limited to, electroshock and lobotomies.
Oh, good.
A significant number of them died, but they don't know how many.
Oh, okay.
But if they die, you're not going to get any subsidies. You're doing a bad job.
I don't understand how they saved money doing this.
Well, the nice thing is, once they died, they could sell the bodies to university for dissection.
Who wants a crazy brain?
Just savings all over the place.
Abby
and
normal.
Here we have an orphan boy who wants the first cut.
Crazy orphan boy. And last, true or false, the amputation of limbs was attempted as a cure for insanity.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say true. That's too awful to not be true.
Yeah, you can't have crazy legs if they're gone.
That kid's always twitching his legs.
Jeez.
False.
This is false.
Oh,
thank God.
They didn't cut off limbs.
Okay, cut off hair.
Torsos.
A man named Henry Cotton developed the bacteriological model of madness in 1913 and decided that if the infected site was removed, the patient would recover.
Okay. That's the brain.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't his opinion.
Okay.
He started with teeth.
What?
Then tonsils. Crazy teeth.
Then gallbladders, stomachs, okay. Uteruses, ovaries, testicles, and colons.
At least two of those you need to survive.
Someday I'll find the crazy organ.
He
claimed never got to the funny bone.
85% cure rate among those who survived.
All two of them.
And no one was required to consent because they were crazy.
Yeah, who knows what they think.
Yeah.
They're not doctors.
All right, on to our short answer. In general, how many people had to sign off on a person being involuntarily committed in the 1800s?
One.
It was like zero?
One.
It was two.
Oh, good. Second opinions are important.
You needed a friend or family member who wanted to commit you, and then a doctor who agreed.
9 out of 10 doctors agree. You're going in the slammer.
A 1 out of 1 doctors agrees.
My doctorate's in poetry, but yes.
How many people had to sign off on a patient being released in the 1800s?
Oh, like every member of the staff plus at least half the inmates.
Yeah, I'm going to say 10. 5 times as many.
It's like the whole board, so it's like 15 people.
You're all a little high, but okay. It was 8.
Okay.
You need 8 doctors to agree that you were sane.
We only have 6 doctors.
Oops. Rules is rules.
Beechworth Lunatic Asylum operated in Victoria. What?
Just that it has lunatic in the name.
I'm not here to sugarcoat things.
Northern Cuckoo Clinic.
It's not even... Wait till you get to the next name. Anyway. It operated in Victoria, Australia from 1867 to 1995.
Wow.
How many people died there?
Oh, this place is going to be haunted as shit. 1,000.
So that's like 128 years? I'll say 5 a year, so it's like 600.
Go. Split the difference-ish. I'll say 700.
Oh, you sweet optimistic souls.
Oh, how God. Many inmates did they have?
I thought maybe 10 per year.
Over 9,000 people died.
Shit. Yeah, haunted as shit.
So that's like...
A lot of these places are now run as haunted houses.
80 per year?
Only that's the best care. Okay, ready for a name that's right on the money? What was the primary reason stated for opening the Eastern Pennsylvania Institution for the Feeble-Minded and Epileptic in 1908? It's also called Pennhurst.
Oh, Pennhurst.
I think I have heard that. What was the reason for opening it?
Why did they say they were opening it?
Ooh, 1908?
Mm-hmm.
How's all the Democrats?
I was going to say, ooh, it's a place for women.
I was going to say it gives the Irish a job.
It was intended to keep the undesirables from breeding.
Oh, no.
Quote, it is nothing less than a concerted movement to attempt to control the breeding of feeble-minded and defective individuals within the state of Pennsylvania.
Who was that?
I don't remember who that's a quote from.
I just mean, like, who did they consider to be feeble-minded?
Oh, here we go. The people mentally and physically with. Handicapped, okay. Immigrants, criminals, yeah. And orphans.
Oh, yeah. Orphans again.
Immigrants. This Italian guy selling stuff at his store, like, put him in the institution.
Look at his feeble mind.
So it was opened in 1908. Anyone want to guess when it closed?
Well, hopefully it was rebranded, but I'm going to say that it's 1970.
1994.
I will say 81.
Close. 1987.
Okay. Mm.
After a documentary found they were keeping children in cages.
Oh,
Trump does that all the time.
He wants to pretend they're a tiger.
The employees were indicted on charges of beating patients and arranging for them to assault each other. Patient cage matches.
Wow.
Hooray.
So lastly, I'm going to give you a list of reasons that are listed as reasons that someone was committed to an asylum between 1864 and 1889.
Okay.
One of these I made up.
Okay.
So you're trying to find the false one.
Is it jazz hands?
That might have been on the long list. Okay, the reasons are the war, deranged masturbation, asthma, political excitement, parents were cousins, marriage of son, book reading, unpleasant demeanor, imaginary female trouble, kicked in the head by a horse.
Asthma.
I'm putting parents were cousins.
I'll go with parents were cousins as well.
The one that was not a reason someone was committed, unpleasant demeanor.
Uh-huh. What?
Now, is this one patient?
One patient was committed with at least with all of these things.
Holy
or more.
Cow.
At least one.
I remember just... the book reading thing because it was from a list of why women were committed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it just seems like they were putting everything on there in hopes that one of them stuck. You know?
This motherfucker read a book.
My wife wore pants. I need her committed.
She has imaginary female trouble. I imagined it. Put her away.
All right. Moving on to our stories. We're going to start by talking about probably, I'd say, the most infamous mental asylum there is.
Arkham.
Well, no.
Batman.
We almost were going to talk about the asylum that's based on, but yeah. It's not all that interest. But we're going to interesting. We're going to talk about Bedlam.
And broomsticks.
Bedlam is not its real name. It's Bethlehem.
Okay.
Bethlehem Royal Hospital, but colloquially called.
They were
Bedlam
just asking for it at that point.
Obvious reasons.
Royal. Oh, I'm a king.
And Bethlehem comes from Bethlehem because it was founded in 1247 as St. Mary of Bethlehem. And it was started as a true asylum, a place of refuge run by the church, a place for people who had nowhere to go to take shelter. But over time, it started specializing in the care of the quote-unquote mad.
Hmm.
For most of its history, Bethlehem was the only mentalist institution in Britain, which made those who ran it the foremost experts in mental illness.
Yep, I'm an expert.
I'm an expert.
I own this building.
I was the first one here this morning, so I'm an expert.
It also became a family business, passed from father to son, so... They all agreed on what expert care meant. It was whatever their dad said.
Yeah. Bethlehem Asylum. When you're here, you're family.
That's what I need. My doctor's care is nepotism.
Yeah. Do I have a degree? No, but my dad did.
My great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they had no idea what they were doing. They believed that mental illness was a disease of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to purge those melancholic humors.
Yeah,
gotta get rid of those humors. Too much blood in your blood.
All these toxins.
The best way to get rid of a mental illness was recurring bouts of vomiting and diarrhea and bleeding.
Yeah, that'll balance you out. Don't forget to blow your nose a bunch.
Isn't that just dysentery?
Not the bleeding.
The skin of the patients was blistered with caustic substances, and the patients would be bathed in ice water.
You feeling better yet?
They would repeat this care for as long as, quote, the strength would bear, which meant a lot of people died of, hypothermia.
They didn't have the strength of a bear.
I guess the mental illness was stronger than they were.
Eventually, Bethlehem became a popular tourist destination.
Oh, good.
While they were using it?
Yeah, I don't mean it is now a popular tourist destination. I mean in the 1750s, it was a top tourist attraction with tens of thousands paying visitors each year.
Come
on down.
Throw popcorn at the inmates.
Actually, no, go ahead. For a penny, you could stare at, taunt, or abuse the inmates.
Wait.
I'm not allowed to stare without paying a penny?
Well, if you're going to pay the penny, you may as well start the abusing and taunting.
And then that led to some first-person accounts of, what it was like in Bethlehem, because people would write in their diaries about the fun time they had.
People pay a penny to poke me all day.
Well, no, this is the pokers that would be writing.
I see. Yeah.
They didn't give writing materials to the inmates.
Your diary had the most fun today.
Quote, "We heard such a rattling of chains, drumming of doors, ranting, hollering, singing, and rattling, that I could think of nothing but a vision where the damned broke loose and put hell in an uproar."
It's the Marley Brothers.
Yeah.
The same diarist said, "Bedlam is an almshouse for madmen, a showing room for whores, a sure market for lechers, a dry walk for loiterers."
It's a one-stop
Five
shop.
Five stars. We'll come back.
It's like going to a haunted house before they just made up haunted houses.
Yeah.
So in the late 1700s, they actually shut down the tourist trade. Which should be good news, but then no one was watching the doctors.
Oh, no.
Brian Crowther, the surgeon at the time, was reported to be generally insane and mostly drunk.
He's mostly. Just an inmate that put on a lab coat.
The doctor in charge preferred collecting art to medicine.
What are you doing here?
By art, I mean tattoos.
Infrequently, briefly, and never visited the patients' wards.
Might catch something in there.
There were reports of widespread alcoholism, buckled ceilings.
Wait, what?
Is that a condition?
Ceilings?
The ceilings were caving in.
Oh, I see. They didn't strap them up.
Yeah.
Doctor, I have buckled ceilings.
Male staff making, quote, improper visits to the female wards.
Well, that's a nice way to say rape.
Yeah. Improper.
Conditions continued to deteriorate until the medical reform movement of the 1800s. Bethlehem mysteriously tried to keep inspectors from visiting.
No. There's an outbreak of crazy.
We're closed today.
No tourism.
I'll just write you a letter about how we're doing.
And they finally got in and they found the building was stark, dirty, and cold with no glazed windows or hot water.
Oh, just an ocarina out there on a hill.
There were small, fetid cells populated by several people chained to walls or their beds. Many were stark naked with just a single blanket to protect them.
Fetid.
From the cold and the rats.
Oh, I don't think I can beat a rat with a blanket.
Patients' limbs were found to be crippled with cold and subject to injury by the other patients with whom they were chained.
Oh, yeah, that's the fights that we do.
My nose itches.
The sight that most shocked them was a man named James Norris, who they described as a clear and lucid man who had been tightly chained by his neck to an iron bar in the wall with additional restraints to his chest, waist, feet, and arms.
What's he got? Super lucid? Strength? Where's he going to go?
Norris complained
like
that his...
By. You're walking by and the guy's like, hey, quick, come here, shit.
If it's not too much trouble...
He complained that his muscles were atrophied and painful following a decade of confinement.
Other than that, doing fine. Have a nice day, guys.
Mine's as sharp as a tack. Thanks for visiting.
One of the little stories that took place in Bethlehem was a apothecary named Edward Wright in the 1830s was found in the female galleries drunk with his clothing disheveled. When inquiries were made into Wright's duties, a colleague replied that his job was being smoking and opening and taking off the heads of the dead patients occasionally.
Wow.
Wait, what?
That's not an apothecary's job.
So his job was smoking?
Yeah. Sweet job.
He had apparently developed a Frankenstein-like fascination with the dead and had created his own laboratory in the hospital's basement for taking patients apart.
But he called it my laboratory.
And that's Bethlehem.
Yay.
If you like walked me in there and took away everybody's name tags, I don't know if I could tell the patients apart from the doctors from the sounds of it.
Well, the patients don't seem to be stumbling.
Yeah, very few of the doctors
chained
are chained to
the
walls.
Yeah. We have to unchain them and then take away the doctor's coats. And then they're all just people at the end of the day.
What a beautiful sentiment.
I'm the doctor, he said.
So now we're going to go to our side of the pond and we're going to talk about Nellie Bly. Hmm. Anyone familiar with the name?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
No. So she was a journalist in the muckraking era in the 1800s whose paper came up with the excellent idea of having her committed.
Undercover.
She took a surprisingly method approach to this.
Okay.
She practiced insanity.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to be properly committed. Like, she didn't want there to be any question that she was crazy.
It's very method.
So she went to a boarding house for working women under an assumed name, where she set about convincing the other residents she was crazy.
If anybody asks, I'm crazy.
I'm cuckoo nuts.
Distressingly, by the next day, she was committed.
Oh.
I heard she was really crazy.
It used to be really easy to do this.
It did not take them long to get her before a judge, examined by a doctor, and pronounced insane on
most
the
people are
word
trying
of
to
a
get
bunch
in.
Of strangers.
Yeah. It's like at that point, all she did was say her name wrong.
So once at the asylum, she was bathed in cold water and left to sleep while cold and wet in a freezing asylum. The nurses were nice and bundled up. The patients weren't.
They've got a blanket to share with two people.
She observed that the patients were deliberately provoked by the staff and then beaten or choked when they got upset about it. To quote her article, her book, describing one such incident. They kept up this until the simple creature began to yell and cry, saying she wanted to go home and that everybody treated her badly. After they had gotten all the amusement out of her they wanted and she was crying, they began to scold and tell her to keep quiet. She grew more hysterical every moment until they pounced upon her and slapped her face and knocked her head in a lively fashion.
Ow.
This made the poor creature cry out more, so they choked her. Yes, actually choked her. Then they dragged her out to the closet, and I heard her terrified cries hush into smothered ones. After several hours' absence, she was returned to the sitting room, and I plainly saw the marks of their fingers on her throat.
Oof. Jeez. Did you know that choking is medicine?
Bly witnessed patients whose insanity was being French, cheating on their husband, being poor, and having a temper.
Angriest Frenchman we've ever seen.
He's the craziest person I've ever seen.
An angry poor Frenchman just arrived. Get the double coat.
She said it was hopeless to complain about the abuse to the doctors because they always said it was the imagination of our diseased brains. And besides, we would get another beating for telling.
They say, do you imagine these fingerprints on my throat?
No, but you are.
And then, she tried to convince them that she was sane, doctors. They obviously wouldn't take her word for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think she might be kind of stuck.
She was able to convince 7 people, but that last guy.
No. She said, what are you doctors here for? I asked one, whose name I cannot recall. To take care of the patients and test their sanity, he replied. Very well, I said. There are 16 doctors on this island, and excepting 2, I have never seen them pay any attention to the patients. How can a doctor judge a woman's sanity by merely bidding her good morning and refusing to hear her pleas for release? Even the sick ones know how useless it is to say anything, for the answer will be that it's in their imagination. Try every test on me, I urged others, and tell me, am I sane or insane? Try my pulse, my heart, my eyes. Which was what they tested her to put her in. Asked me to stretch out my arm and work my fingers, as Dr. Field did, the doctor who committed her, and then tell me if I am sane. They would not heed me, and they thought I raved.
Yes, that's what this is called.
So how did she get out?
After 10 days, the newspaper she worked for sent a attorney on her behalf.
Jeez.
So how's our star reporter doing?
The only one more powerful than a doctor.
So a month after her articles were published, a grand jury panel visited the asylum to investigate. Unfortunately, the hospital and staff was tipped off in advance.
Everyone was in their Sunday finest.
By the time the jury members arrived, the asylum had quite literally cleaned up its act. Many of the inmates who Bly had spoken about had been released or transferred. And then the staff denied everything, and fresh food and water was available for the first time, and the floors had been washed.
Well, this place is great.
Actually,
well, I'm gonna stay myself.
Even with all that, the jury agreed with Bly. Staff members were fired, new systems were put in place, and additional funding was arranged to house the mentally ill. Her work made real effective changes to things.
To this one hospital.
Yeah.
And nothing bad ever happened again.
That's right. She's also the woman who did like the whole around the world thing. She's a pretty cool lady. And so those are my stories.
Woo.
I don't have any stories.
I've never been committed
to a hospital in the 1800s.
No.
Bled and purged. And I've been on a swing before.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to have like an asylum in town, didn't we?
I think so.
And they shut it down.
I mean, if we didn't, it was like sort of an urban legend of like, there's the asylum. That's where the crazy people escape from.
Which just seems so weird just because, like, I don't know. Like, they'd bring these people in and they would start doing things that were objectively horrible. And the people would get worse. And they were just like, well, clearly we haven't done this enough. It's like,
yeah, it's like, thank God we got to them in time. They just got so much worse. You'd think that logic would take over at some point.
Yeah.
You'd have to think of them as people to be concerned about their well-being.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they get all these people like, you're crazy. Allow me to act as insane as possible upon you.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ape shit on you with this.
Man's inhumanity to man.
The doctors are supposed to be better.
You gotta get those bodies to chop up somewhere. So, on to our what are your morals worth?
Oh, boy.
How much would your publisher have to pay you to be the next Nellie Bly?
Oh, a lot.
Are we talking 1800s asylum?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've got a time machine.
Or can you assure me that I'll get out?
They will send a lawyer on your behalf.
Okay.
Like, before I die.
They will send a lawyer on your behalf.
And it's a month, eh?
It's 10 days.
Oh, just 10 days?
Mm-hmm. You do have to get yourself committed.
I could do that.
I read
it
a book
like
once.
It wasn't hard.
Hey guys, I read a book yesterday.
Hey, look at me. I'm from overseas, eh?
Hey, I'm a wolf. I just have to walk up.
Yeah. Look him in the eye.
I disagree with men.
I have an opinion.
There's a lot of damage they can do to you in 10 days there.
Yeah.
You do get to write a blockbuster article after.
Ooh. Give me 100,000. That's 10,000 for every day.
That's not bad. Are my medical expenses covered?
As much as you can call them medical expenses.
No, not my treatment in there. I need the treatment afterwards.
The psychiatrist you're going to see?
Yeah, the real doctors I'm going to see afterwards.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are covered. You have medical insurance through the journal.
It's going to be harrowing. Like, even for 10 days, like, I'm not going to have to worry about, like, muscles atrophying or anything, but still.
You are probably going to see people tortured who you can't.
Hmm. I am mildly curious about, I mentioned in our live action experiences episode that, like, I have this uncanny ability to just, like, take people out of the moment. People have a hard time, like, keeping up appearances when I'm around, so I would be curious, like, how much these guards could push me, or if they'd just be like, oh, what, this is... suddenly very weird.
You're not
that
fun.
Wouldn't work. So I'm kind of curious about that. And I don't know. As long as I knew I was getting out, I don't think it would be that much.
Yeah.
It's 10 days. You tell me I got 10 grand for 10 days of being absolutely miserable? I'd probably do that.
10,000?
Yeah.
No, no way. Like, this is going to be traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The echoing screams through the halls are enough to give me nightmares.
I'm going to say 500,000.
That's where I was, 500,000. Like, I'm going to be sad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so sad.
I have to write an article. I
have to go back to work.
Not only did we have an insane asylum, they shut it down, but they didn't move the cemetery. They built a park on top of it. So in the 70s, kids were playing and they started finding skulls and shit.
They did all the wrong
people
things.
People died in the asylum?
I just imagine you coming back to work after that and like your head's half shaved and your eyes are black and you got red finger marks on your neck and you're just like, Mondays, am I right?
I'm going to get to writing.
Making coffee in the break room.
Shaking.
How was your weekend?
I think that's all I've got for you today. Thank you for joining us, and see you next.
Bye.